Welcome to Connecting Hearts. Connecting hearts of women to resources, information, and to one another. Presented by Creative Heart Studios, 18 Perry Street and Newton. Now here's your host, Margie Conway.
Moving is a big decision. Selling or buying a home in any market, but especially today's, can raise a lot of questions. Hi, I'm Amy with Killingsworth Realty. My husband Todd and I serve the Coweta and local area. Our purpose at our first meeting is to learn your goals, answer questions, and provide resources so that you can make the best decision for you and your family. Find us online at killingsworthrealty.com or call 678-525-0047 to schedule a free consultation today to discuss your real estate needs. You don't have to do this alone.
Hello. I'm Pina Payne with Contour Mortgage, and we're so excited. We have just moved to this new company, and we are located at 560 Noonan Crossing Bypass in Noonan next to Art and Jake's, and we have some great products. Our interest rates are better than any other companies, and we also have some great products with for the VA. We can do a better deal for you with fees than any other company. We have a lot of different kind of programs.
Please join us every Thursday at 10:30 for the Connecting Hearts program. We will bring together mentors from our network to give you resources and inspiration on key areas of your life. I am your host, Margie Conway, the Joy Coordinator of Creative Hearts Studio, located near downtown Noonan. Look for us on social media for continuous stream from your carefully chosen mentors. Again, please tune in Thursdays at 10:30 to the Connecting Hearts program, where we connect the hearts of women to resources, inspiration, and one another. This is Margie from Connecting Hearts Network. I'd like you to take just a moment and listen to Linda Kirkpatrick explain to you what Family Patterns Matters is all about.
Family Patterns Matter works with youth and their families to help overcome barriers that prevent their success. We meet twice a month with mentoring, tutoring, teaching life skills, resilience, gratitude, and kindness. We also bring music and art therapy. Please visit our website at www.familypatternsmatter.org.
Shopping for insurance doesn't have to be stressful. I'm Christy, owner of Ellsworth Insurance, located here in Noonan, Georgia. We're an independent agency with access to multiple carriers for home, auto, life, health, and commercial insurance. We're your one-stop shop for your insurance needs. Visit our website at www.insurewithellsworth.com. Or call the office at 770-755-7053 to schedule an appointment. We look forward to meeting you soon.
Are you looking for that special gift this year for your daughter, sister, mother, grandmother, or best friend? Give the gift of safety and self-defense. Hi, I'm Holly Reese, founder of Warrior Defenders. As a certified tactical self-defense instructor, I specialize in women's self-defense. Classes are weekly, in-person, or schedule a seminar. Online courses are available. You can shop self-defense products and tools on my website, warriordefenders.com. I'm here to help you customize the perfect gifts for the ones you love.
I am Margie Conway, and this is the Connecting Hearts Network program. I have several different programs taped that you're going to hear over the next couple of weeks, and the intention was to play one of these this morning. But last night, I was with my children's ministry at church, and I was talking with the kids about the gifts the wise men brought. And, you know, you hear quite often that I love my essential oils and stuff, and so that ties in with essential oils. And I want to talk to you for a few minutes about the gifts that the wise men brought and the actual wisdom behind those gifts. It is something that I love to do, especially around holidays, is to look and see for reminders. Simple things we see, like the lights at Christmas, that Christ is the light of the world. That when we get presents, our greatest present was the birth of Christ and his sacrifice for our sins. And, you know, the candy cane can turn upside down to be the J. And really, honestly, anywhere you look in nature, And in man-made stuff, there are reminders of the one true God and of Jesus who came for all of us. And, you know, I say this with all of you knowing I am a steadfast Christian and have firm beliefs. And I truly believe Christmas is about Christ, not about all the things that we buy in the store and any other things that might come into the celebrations. I believe it all begins and ends with Christ. I love that it gives me time to share that message with people in different ways. And it also gives me time with my family because they are very important with me. So let's take just a minute and talk about presents. When I asked the kids last night, what presents did they want for Christmas? They all had their lists. You know, we all do. I even have my list of what I would want because we're moving into a new space and there's a couple of chairs that I want to put into that space. And, you know, I would love to have a new TV screen so I could use the smart TV with my phone for presentations and, you know, different things I want to do to make the space just great for our friends that's going to come in with us and study over the next year. So we all have our Christmas list. And as children, we go sit on Santa's lap and we have a list and read it out. And if you're good, you're supposed to get your presents. And if you're bad, you usually get less or coal in your stocking. Although nowadays, it doesn't seem to matter if you're good or bad. You still get all the presents. And so, you know, we have those traditions that we do. And presents date way back. But the ones we're going to talk about today are specifically the ones that the wise men brought to Jesus at the Nativity. And when we talk about the Nativity, you know, it's like it all happened in this one night. And it really didn't. The wise men were a little bit later on the scene. They weren't there the night Jesus was born. They were there and visited into a house where Jesus was a small baby. And still not old enough, you know, that they had traveled a lot. And so they still found them. But the amazing thing about that is that star was still guiding them in the sky. They knew what star they were looking for. We call these men Magi or wise men or the three kings. And we say they came from the east. You know that song, We Three Kings of the Orient Are Traveling with Gifts from Afar. And it's they were coming to worship who they knew would be the Messiah. And like I talked with the children last night, is, you know, a big part of the story is the king that was there at the time. Because the people of Israel were once again, you know, under the tyranny of a king that ruled them harshly. And they wanted to be out from under that. And so the people of Israel were looking for a Messiah because they knew a Messiah was supposed to come. Well, at that time, their idea of a Messiah was going to be a king. It was going to be a warrior because that's how kings became kings back then. It was going to be a warrior that would come lead the fight to take them out of this oppression that they were living under. So the last thing they would have been looking for as a Messiah would have been a baby that was born in a stable that, you know, just a small baby. So it would have been hard for a lot of them to look and say, oh, that's our Messiah. It's easier for us to look back now because we have more of the history and we have more, you know, proof, if you really have to have that, of who Jesus was. But they were looking for a king. And so we have the bad guy and the wise men and the three kings who were indeed wise. And at that time, not everybody studied. But when they studied the scriptures. They had the Old Testament, and they had the words from the prophets and all of those documents, and they studied all the prophecies about Jesus, and there are hundreds of them in the Old Testament. They studied all the prophecies about when this Messiah was going to come. So these guys, you know, that was their purpose. Like, we go to college to become a doctor, but you know, you go to college and you can become a pediatrician or you can become a heart surgeon when you're in medical school. Which one you're going to be determines which line of study you're going to do. And so these guys wasn't just in general studying, they were focusing on the prophecies about the new Messiah that was going to come. So while they were focusing on these prophecies of the Messiah, they came across the ones that said there would be a star in the sky. And this wasn't just any star. This was a unique star. It was the Star of Bethlehem, and it wasn't always there. It was one that was leading them to show them where the true king would be. So these guys come into the scene a little bit later, And when we would do our nativity at church, we would always have them coming with a big pomp and circumstance. The shepherds would wander in with their sheep, and you know, the shepherds heard from the angel that Jesus was born, and the shepherds were really some of the least educated people and the ones who had the least amount of money. So they were from the bottom of society at that time. They were the ones that you would think would need a helping hand or need a little bit more. Yet they saw the angels in the sky, and they followed what they told them to do till they found the baby Jesus. So on one end of the spectrum, we have the people who were oppressed, the people who were not doing well, that were uneducated. And on the other end, we have the highly educated people who had well means because they traveled far. And, you know, when we talk about it, we talk about them being on camels or horses or something to get to where they were. And like I said, at our church, when we would do the nativity, the wise men would come in with all this pomp and circumstance. Their servants and everybody with them, and make a big deal out of these kings were coming to worship Jesus. I'm going to read to you for just a minute from Matthew chapter 2 about the wise men who came. So in Matthew chapter 2, it says, "When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we've come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by prophets: And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people in Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, he inquired of them diligently, 'When did that star appear?' And he said to them, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may go and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed and went to their own country another way." First of all, that's very wise men. They could tell when somebody had bad motives and wasn't telling the truth of what they did. So they weren't going to let King Herod know what they did. But they brought unto the baby Jesus three gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We have always talked about that, as we have talked about the wise men and the manger and all these things. And the wise men showed courage and perseverance and joy, but they were very wise. And as we have studied over the years, and as I've heard different sermons preach, and I've studied intentions myself and in the Bible, there was wisdom in the gifts that they brought: the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. These have symbolic explanations for these gifts given. The gold is for a king. You would honor the king with the best that you had, and the gold, you know, is worth a great deal of money, and that would be something that you would give to a king. The frankincense was for the priest. The frankincense, when you would go into the temple, the priest would be the ones that would go into the holiest of holies, the high priest would, to talk to God about our prayers and our askings. And so they would sanctify the area, and they would have the lanterns that had incense in them that they would, you know, spread about the area to put a sweet aroma, when you talk about the temple, up to God. Well, frankincense was that incense. Frankincense is a very powerful product, and I'm going to tell you some about that in a moment. But at that time, it stood for the high priest. And then you had myrrh, which was used for anointing and embalming and the sacrificial death. So they were acknowledging, whether they realized it or not, that Jesus was our king, that he is our high priest, and that he was going to have a sacrificial death for our sins. But God had practical reasons for having them bring those treasures. And I have put a lot of study and taken some courses into the gift of the Magi, talking about the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. There's not much more I could teach most of you about gold that you don't already know. You know how they mine for it. You know how precious it is. You know how the value goes up and down, but it stays up more than down, more than anything else you can do. You know, I have gold jewelry. We have, you know, gold coins, just gold. It's something that holds its value and that you can use as a commercial commodity for those things. So, of course, you know, they were taking baby Jesus and fled to Egypt. They needed money to be able to live. And so they had that gold to be able to take care of Jesus. But symbolically, it was because he was the king. When you come to frankincense and myrrh, those are some of the spices that were listed in the Bible that had been used for many things. So that's what I'm going to talk to you about right now. I use both in essential oils. You know, I'm a doTERRA wellness advocate. I believe strongly in the power of essential oils. And I love to study how they've been used even back in biblical times, because it's not some new invention some man came up with. It is an organic thing that God put on this earth for our well-being. So essential oils have been used for thousands of years. Many ancient texts, including the Ebers Papyrus and the Bible, have documented the use of essential oils. The Ebers Papyrus is one of the oldest known medical documents in history. It is an Egyptian medical papyrus of herbal knowledge that dates back to 1550 BC and has over 700 formulas and remedies. When you go to the Bible, it has over 600 references to essential oils and aromatic plants from which those oils are extracted. Myrrh and frankincense are the most frequently referenced essential oils in the Bible. According to the Center for Aromatherapy Research and Education, myrrh is referenced directly and indirectly over 156 times, and frankincense is referenced directly or indirectly 81 times. Frankincense is known as the king of essential oils. In ancient times, even in as many as 3,000 years before Christ, it was one of the most valuable commodities, more valuable than gold. It was in such demand from pharaohs and Caesars that the frankincense trail was created. This trade route supplied thousands of tons of frankincense from the southern coast of Oman to the Holy Lands, following the coast of the Red Sea. It was approximately 24,000 miles long, and caravans up to 6,000 camels would travel this route. Historical uses of frankincense include burning the incense in religious ceremonies to support digestion, to aid in gum health, for beautification masks, in our cosmetics, insect repellents, perfumes, and salves. Frankincense is also the key ingredient in ancient embalming processes. Myrrh is known as the queen of essential oils. Myrrh appears more frequently than any other plant substance in the writings of the Greek physician Hippocrates. Most Egyptian medicinal formulas include myrrh. Egyptian women wore crowns of wax infused with myrrh. As the wax would heat in the sun, it would cover their bodies with myrrh oil. Historical uses of myrrh include incense in religious ceremonies, perfume, health aids, facial treatments, and air freshener to purify the dead, and it was also a key ingredient in the embalming process. When we go to modern days now, frankincense and myrrh essential oils have many uses. We're going to highlight a few of our major preferences for it and some of the things that we've learned over the last several years. Frankincense promotes calmness and relaxation. It is great for skin care. It reduces the appearance of skin imperfections and helps with healing nearly everything related to skin issues, such as sores, burns, and cuts. Frankincense exhibits many potential health benefits relating to joint and muscle pain, stomach problems, allergies, asthma, cough, headaches, diarrhea, mild depression, and others. Its properties are believed to support the immune systems. They are doing clinical studies now, and many believe that frankincense has anti-cancer benefits. So you can go to the Cancer Society of America and look, and you can find clinical trials where they're using frankincense in treating cancer. Frankincense to us is known as a booster oil too.
It is very powerful on its own, but you add a drop of frankincense to any other combination that you're doing, and it like doubles the power of it. Frankincense is one of the few oils that can penetrate the blood barrier to your brain. So if you have, you know, concussions and other things, frankincense helps with that. Now, all of these are to support your system. We are not saying that frankincense cures everything known. But we are saying frankincense, even after all these years, we're just barely getting into all the uses that frankincense has. Most of us in the oil world will put a drop of frankincense under our tongue every morning because it helps just boost everything in your body. Myrrh has properties that's believed to heal dental infections. It also has properties that are believed to treat and heal wounds, prevent infections, soothe chapped skin, prevent skin aging, promote relaxation, relieve congestion, fight viral infections that cause cough and colds, stimulate blood circulation, and provides relief of inflammation of tissues caused by infections. Myrrh has a great sunscreen effect. You can put myrrh into some of your skin care, your lotion and your oil, and it is a natural sunscreen effect. Myrrh has been used in cosmetics for many, many, many years, and it is very beneficial into a lot that you do. Some of the debates is you know, using essential oils is a debatable topic. We can go to social media and see how fierce that debate is. But essential oils are growing in their popularity again. I know that when I started using them as part of my health routine, instead of all of the man-made medications, and sometimes we need the man-made medications, but other times God has put plenty of organic things on this earth to help us. And one of them I strongly believe are the essential oils. I know that, you know, there's different processes that they can use to get the oils, and I know when you get frankincense and myrrh, they are resin oils. They're not ones that you can go tap a tree like a maple tree and get your syrup out of. You have to chip away at the resins, and then you have to use a steam distillation process to get the oil out of the resins. I have some resin of frankincense that, you know, I use when I teach classes or talk to the children, and they have to use those resins. You either burn them like incense, or to get the essential oils out of them, you use a steam distillation process. A general trend has been to move away from synthetic chemicals and back to natural health products, and that brings essential oils right to the forefront of it. Many are turning to holistic and alternative practices over concerns about safety and side effects of synthetics that have been used in modern medicine. You know, I would rather use something that's been around for 5,000 years than use something they just came out with this year because of a big discovery, but we're not sure what side effects or long-term use may do for you. It's important that you do your own research and educate yourself before using anything. You know, I am not trying to give you medical advice, and I am not trying to convince you that my way is better than your way. I'm really just highlighting the importance of the gifts that the wise men brought to Jesus and how wise they are for us at this point. Essential oil purity and therapeutic value is vital and essential for safety and efficiency. There's a range of quality between essential oil manufacturers. High-quality essential oil manufacturers should be able to provide, upon request, the purity of the product, the country of origin, the testing results, sustainability initiatives, and how they grow and harvest things. I'd use doTERRA, and if you go on the bottom of a doTERRA bottle, there's a code that you can go to source to you on the internet, put in your code, and they will show you the components of the bottles that you have and trace it back from the plant where it came from. All the plants have scientific botanical names, extraction methods, and chemical components. This is something that you need to study on your own and to see if it's right for you to use. But I really wanted to point out today how wise the wise men were in the gifts that they brought for Jesus at that point. You know, we're not always wise in our gifts. My grandkids are spoiled rotten. I've asked them every Thanksgiving when we get together, I said, what do y'all want for Christmas? Well, nobody can tell me anything because they already have it all. And they're teenagers, so they're getting to the point they can work and have their own money and buy stuff too. And, you know, they always want money. But I've had a hard time picking out gifts to give them. Now, could I brag up some frankincense and myrrh to give my grandkids and make them happy? Probably not. But I can tell you one of them gave me a gift set of oils last year that had frankincense in it. So they do know the importance of it, and they do know how much that their grandmother uses them. Could I package them up gold? Probably. They would be ready for that. So I could give them gold in a minute, and they'd like it just as well as gift cards and stuff. I don't know. They probably would rather have gift cards because the gold they have to go exchange for cash somewhere. But when we give our presents, we don't think an awful lot most of the time about what we're giving. We tend to want to make people happy for the moment. But I want to point out to you that as wise as those men were giving those gifts to the infant Jesus when he was born, God has given us a greater gift. He has given us the gift of Jesus Christ as our Savior. And there is nothing that can beat that. So if you know yourself that Jesus was born as an infant to a virgin in a manger to follow the prophecies that was in the Old Testament, and you realize yourself that he was the Son of God and he was given as a sacrifice for our sins, then you've received the best present you're ever going to receive. And the best present you could ever give your family is to make sure they know that too, to share Jesus with them this season, to let them know and see your faith. I think the best thing parents can do for kids is let them know you're praying for them. Let them know that you believe in Jesus, that you stand on that solid rock, and that you pray for your children ardently. And share with them Jesus, because you wouldn't want them to pass without having him. So that's just my thoughts about presents this year. That is just my thoughts about wanting to educate you about, you know, one of the Bible stories that tells us about Jesus and the gifts that was given to him. That's the way the Bible is, guys. It is consistent. It does not contradict itself at all. And anyone that tries to tell you it contradicts itself, when you go read the context of the scriptures they're using, you will see that they are wrong. So the greatest gift you give yourself and your family is to know Jesus and to bring him into your home and have him as the center of your holidays and any other celebration you have. Thank you for listening to me today. I hope you got a little bit of something out of this, and I hope that you have very happy holidays.
Thanks for tuning in to Connecting Hearts, Connecting Hearts of Women to Resources, Information, and to One Another. Presented by Creative Heart Studios, 18 Perry Street, here in Noonan. 404-528-8461. Until next time, have a wonderful day.